God's word is Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, and verse 14 through 15. Matthew 6, 12, and verses 14 and 15. This is the reading of God's word. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Father, we pray that you will bless the preaching of your word. You will bless the person who is preaching, that he would preach correctly. That you will bless your people who are hearing of your word, that they will understand your word. And through your word, meet your Son, Jesus Christ, and have wonderful fellowship with him. And see the glorious sight of what he has accomplished for us. Oh Father, we pray that as we hear your word, let our faith grow and grow. And with that faith, let us witness the reality of heaven. Let us witness who we are in Christ. Let us live the life that clearly shows what kind of salvation that has come to us. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our debts. But in Luke's gospel, we have in chapter 11, verse 4a, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. There it is, forgive us our sins, but here we see forgive us our debts. We are debtors to God. We owe God the wages of sin. And as you know, the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal death. Forever abandoned by God. Hell. But according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19b through 20, it says, you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You and I have been bought with a price, and we now belong to God. And what was that price? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 19. Knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile ways of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Revelation chapter 5 verse 9 says, and they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. The word redemption. The word means to free or purchase a slave by the payment of ransom, by the payment of the price of a slave. Jesus redeemed us. You and I, we were slaves to sin, slaves to Satan. Jesus paid the ransom. Of course, not to Satan, but to God. Jesus paid in full everything that we owe to God. But because He purchased us, we are now slaves to Him. And verse 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." To some people, our passage will sound like God's forgiveness of our sins is conditioned upon our forgiveness of sins of others. That our forgiveness of others' sins is the basis or the ground of God's forgiveness of our sins. That our forgiveness is prior to God's forgiveness. Well, for us, we already have dealt with this issue when we studied chapter 5, verse 7. So I will not repeat everything that we have said already. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32b says, "Forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." The order is reversed in that verse. We love God for He loved us first. God has forgiven our sins first, and we witness His forgiveness of our sins by forgiving others who sinned against us. So our forgiving others is witnessing what God has done for us. Forgive us our debts or sins. Well, Jesus Christ has already accomplished this. And just like everything else that we pray in this Lord's Prayer, they are already answered in Jesus Christ. We pray this prayer because we believe Jesus Christ, our Lord, has already accomplished this. If we do not ultimately forgive others who sinned against us, then the only thing that we really witness is the fact that God has never forgiven us our sins, and that you really do not understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to Matthew chapter 7. Let me read from verse 17. "So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit." Now that's somewhat easy to understand. Every good tree bears good fruits. Every bad tree bears bad fruits. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down. Why? Because it has shown, by bearing bad fruits, it has shown that it is not worthy. It is a bad tree. "So every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits." So if you are truly saved, if you have been truly forgiven by God of your sins, if you are a good tree, you will bear good fruits. But if you do not bear good fruits, then what are you doing? You're witnessing that you are not a good tree. First John chapter 2 verse 19 says, they went out from us. Some people left the church. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. They left the church. Why? To show us that they were not with us from the beginning. You know some people who said they believed in God before, but now they don't. Well, that shows that he never believed in God. Never. So in this sense, forgiving others is necessary. Because without bearing good fruits, you have no confidence that you are a good tree. Our salvation is not just that our sins are forgiven by God, but that we forgive others of their sins against us. Our salvation includes our forgiveness of other people's sin. Yeah, so many people just think about their salvation in terms of how God has forgiven them. But you need to go a little bit further. That salvation includes you forgiving other people's sin. We are called to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to fulfill the law in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to love God and love our neighbors. Romans chapter 10 verse B. Love. Romans chapter 10 verse B. Mistyped there. I believe it's Romans 13. Well, you check it either. I can't just left it like that and go. I'll find it for you. Yes, Romans 13, verse 10b. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And we do that first by forgiving their sins against us. If we truly understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we will forgive others. If we have been forgiven by our God and we understand what that really means, then we will forgive others. Because not to forgive others is to deny the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not to forgive others is to witness that you never understood the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 21. It's somewhat long, but let's read this. Matthew 18 verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Well, 490 times, meaning you forgive endlessly. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. Remember, this parable is what? It's about heaven, about the kingdom of God. Keep that in mind as we read it. Verse 24, when he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave, that same slave, went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. The same plea that the first slave made. Same words, right? Verse 30, but he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what has owed. So when his fellow slave saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. The Lord in our parable said to that slave, should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? If you truly understand how much God has forgiven you, if you do have that understanding, then you will forgive others who sinned against you much, much less than how much you sinned against God. Forgiving others is demanded from true Christians. You could never be certain of God's forgiving you your sins without forgiving sins of others. And it really doesn't matter how much you say you're certain of your belief if you do not forgive others. You could never be certain. And of course, it is not that the people whom you forgive are worthy of your forgiveness. No. So you're saying to God, you know, that person is so bad. I mean, if you know what he has done for me, done to me, you will understand why I am not forgiving that person. We're not talking about whether that person is worthy of your forgiveness. God has forgiven us our sins even though we do not deserve his forgiveness. If it is all about worthiness, then your sins and my sins will not be forgiven by God. You are called to be like God. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. As we also have forgiven our debtors. If we are to truly examine ourselves, then how can any one of us pray this. Can you truly pray, forgive my debts as I also have forgiven my debtors? If our forgiving our debtors is the precondition of what we are asking in this prayer, then how can any one of us ask this? Do you forgive your debtors perfectly and completely, just like how God forgave us? If not, then how can you pray this? It is utterly impossible for us to pray this apart from what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. If Jesus did not accomplish our salvation, then it's nonsense to pray this. It is a prayer of seeking again our Lord Jesus Christ. He bore our sins and died upon that cross for us, and through and by His precious blood, God has forgiven us our sins. Do you see how we are able to pray this only in Jesus Christ? Only in Jesus Christ, who has forgiven His debtors perfectly and completely. Only in Jesus Christ we are able to say, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Only in Jesus Christ we are able to pray, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. You and I, we are not able. Even if we try, we are not able to forgive our debtors perfectly and completely. But Jesus Christ, He did that for us. But we must witness what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. As much as we are able, we must imitate our Lord Jesus Christ and witness to Him. We must forgive others of their sins against us. This is not optional, brothers and sisters. If you think this is optional, you still don't understand the gospel. We do this with all our might. And to pray this prayer without sincerely forgiving others of their sins against us is to mock this prayer. That you have no intention of forgiving others, and you just utter this prayer every Lord's Day. You're mocking this prayer. Because unwilling to forgive others, you deny what Christ has accomplished for us. Now, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as you pray this, I pray that you will realize and believe the reality of heaven that has already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ and enjoyed by you. Do you remember the whole context of Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount? The new era has come. The kingdom of God has arrived. As Jesus teaches us this prayer, what is he pronouncing to us? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 15. We're going to read a couple places of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 15, Verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a remission of debts. This is the manner of remission. Every creditor shall release what he has loaned to his neighbor. He shall not exact it of his neighbor and his brother, because the Lord's remission has been proclaimed. So every seventh year, the sabbatical year, is also the year of remission. You forgive all debts. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 10 says this: Then Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, at the time of the year of remission of debts. So there we have the same phrase. But if you go to Leviticus chapter 25, let us go there. Leviticus chapter 25. Remember what you read in Deuteronomy chapter 15. Every seventh year is a year of remission of debts. But here in Leviticus chapter 25, this is what we read, verse 8. You are also to count off 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself. 7 times 7 years. So that you have the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years, namely 49 years. So every 7 years, you do that 7 times. So 7 times 7, 49 years. Then the next year, the 50th year, is what? Verse 9, you shall then sound a ram's horn abroad on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. And you understand what that day is, right? Day of Atonement. This is when your sin is covered, because the high priest will go into this Holy of Holies. On the Day of Atonement, you shall sound a horn all through your land. You shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release, can say that, through the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. You shall have the 50th year as a jubilee. You shall not sow nor reap its aftergrowth, nor gather in from its untrimmed vines, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its crops out of the field. So every 50th year is jubilee. And you, on that Day of Atonement, you shall sound a horn all through your land, and you proclaim release. Every debt is forgiven. And if you were a slave, if you sold yourself because you didn't have money, well, then you're now free to go back. So picture that. As God forgives Day of Atonement, as God forgives sins or debts of His people, His people are to grant remission of debts to one another. The year of the Jubilee. Verse 13 says, On this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to your own property. If you go down to verse 39, this is what you read. If a countryman of yours becomes so poor with regard to you that he sells himself to you, you shall not subject him to a slave service. He shall be with you as a hired man, as if he were a sojourner. He shall serve with you until the year of Jubilee. He shall then go out from you, he and his sons with him, and shall go back to his family, that he may return to the property of his forefathers. Everything belongs to God. And on this year of Jubilee, the new beginning is proclaimed. Grant the remission of debts. Go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's talking about the Messiah. He's talking about himself. "Because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed," and what? "To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." The year of the Jubilee. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The favorable year of the Lord. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? In Jesus Christ, the eternal favorable year of the Lord, the eternal sabbatical year, the eternal jubilee has begun. The heavenly jubilee has come. The perfect eternal day of the atonement has come as Jesus dies on that cross, and with it, eternal heavenly sabbatical year, or the eternal heavenly jubilee, has begun in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has redeemed us, and we must grant remission of debts to one another. The church age is the beginning of eternal jubilee. And if you belong to that age, if you live during that age, then you must grant remissions of debts to other people. We must forgive our debtors. Do you realize that you are living in the favorable year of the Lord? Do you realize that you are living in that 50th year? Do you realize you are living in the eternal heavenly jubilee year? And if this is the eternal heavenly jubilee year, then what must you do? You must forgive all of your debtors. God has forgiven your debts. And you must do the same to others. Not to forgive our debtors is to deny the coming of the eternal heavenly jubilee. You know, in the 50th year, if you do not do that, you know what happens. And even though when the eternal jubilee year has come, and if you do not obey God in forgiving your debtors, do you realize how serious sin that is? Not to forgive others is to deny what our Lord has accomplished. Deny the coming of the kingdom. Coming of the year of Jubilee. Let me just end with this. And because of the redemption that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, we are in Jesus Christ no longer. We are not debtors to God anymore, but we are His sons who possess God and His kingdom as our eternal inheritance. But until that glorious sight is visible, I pray that saints in Christ and Heaven OPC will see what Christ has already accomplished and what has already begun. In heaven, no one will owe anything to anybody. There is no debt in heaven. Everything belongs to God. Let us celebrate the coming of the year of Jubilee by forgiving our debtors. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for forgiving us our sins. Even as we pray this prayer that you taught us to pray, we understand what has already happened in Jesus Christ. Our sins are already forgiven. And Father, let us witness that reality by forgiving others when they sin against us. Let us do that to witness the coming of the eternal year of the Jubilee. Oh Father, everything belongs to you. We thank you that in Jesus Christ, we have you, God, and your kingdom as our eternal inheritance. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.